Hello, everyone, and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And this is your weekly nerd podcast where we talk about the new and old in movies, nerdy style. Explicit content warning, material on this podcast may not be suitable for listeners of all ages. Material on this podcast has been deemed to be vulgar, rude, and sometimes even crude. So you have been warned.
What up, my motherfucking nerdy peeps? What's going down, everybody?
Sorry, I messed up the intro a little bit.
Just a little bit of a butcher.
Yeah, yeah. So Scott usually, like, even though he does it every week, he like, makes sure he gets it right by, like, reading it, which is, you know, very good showmanship because, you know, you got to be able to know what you're saying. And I'm just like, you want me to do it?
And I was like, sure, take seven. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, it was, like, three takes, but the first one was like, so bad it might as well have been, like, four. So.
Oh, that was hilarious. Wait, yeah. Who are you?
Yeah, man.
We should, like, record our, like, little sessions just for, like, outtake purposes.
Right, just, like, every time we mess up, just export it, you know, to, right. Like, a bloopers file. Yeah. That'd be good. So, you know, it's been kind of crazy. A little crazy, right?
A little bit of craziness.
Trying to work out packing and finding places to live and stuff. Yes. So we've been working on that. My car is totaled. Next subject.
What? Wait, yeah. Did we told him that got into a crash, right?
Yeah, we talked about my car accident.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I got a call today, and they said, you know, it's totaled. So, you know, I have to get all that sorted out and get a new car and everything, which, woohoo. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Tomorrow, Thursday, November 22nd, is Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Hope you're all thankful for what you have and everything like that, because we certainly are.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, I'm learning a bit of Tagalog. You know, ooh. My girlfriend tried to teach me some, but, you know, I decided I better pick this up on my own a little bit, you know, so I can impress her. And, like, the very first word I said, she shook her head like I said it wrong. And I know I said it right because they say it on the little app thing.
Yeah.
And so she's just like, no. And then she's like, oh, yeah, you can say it like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Can't tell a Tagalog expert over here what's up.
I texted her yesterday and told her, like, what I was learning. And she said, you'll probably be better than me. And I was like, yeah, not really. It's not going to happen. But their, like, sentence structure is weird, so I have to, like, learn a lot. But, yeah, it's very exciting. Anyway, guys, we're not here to talk about anything else except for
I'm learning a language, too.
Oh, okay. Language. Yes.
One that I should have probably learned by now, but just due to, like, my upbringing and stuff, I never learned Spanish, even though I, you know, I'm half Mexican.
Well, I mean, you need to know Spanish for when you go back to your home country.
Damn it, Christian. Alright, guys, just so you guys are aware, Christian's not that racist. It's an inside joke with, you know, concerning his grandfather.
Yeah.
I didn't show up for coffee for like 2 or 3 weeks, and he's like, did he go back to his country or something?
Yeah, you know, because Trump's president and stuff. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah. I think he's just old and, like, you know, a little demented.
Yeah. Your grandpa's hilarious.
Yeah, but that's great. And your girlfriend speaks Spanish, so that's very important, very fun. Yeah, my girlfriend speaks Tagalog, obviously, you know, because she's from the Philippines. She was there for, like, 13 years, and now she's, like, in the United States. Uh-huh. And I have to, you know, help her with language sometimes, so she's helping me with her language.
Correct.
Because she likes me sometimes. Yeah.
Because she likes me sometimes.
No, she's great. I mean, she just does so much for me. Guys, find you a lady that treats you right.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
We got the best two out there.
Yeah, definitely. So, are we done? Are we done with all this prelude? Because this is something we've been itching to talk about.
Oh,
Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. That's what we're talking about today. And let me tell you, this movie was a bit of a doozy, and not necessarily a good doozy.
More of a deuce. The kind you poop out.
Yeah. like, the first movie had so much going for it because it stuck to what it should stick to.
Right.
We're expanding our universe. We're expanding our knowledge of the Wizarding World. We're introducing all these new characters. Whereas this movie introduces new characters for the sole purpose of tying us into our regular Harry Potter characters. You know, we have to tie into Dumbledore and the Ministry of Magic and all this stuff with Grindelwald and Dumbledore and Hogwarts and all this. And it's great. Seeing Hogwarts is amazing. Seeing all the old Hogwarts robes and them back at school is amazing. It's all very, very, very fun, cool stuff.
It's all very amazing.
But they limit our world in a way. Like, we're no longer expanding. We're just sticking to what we know.
Right.
And on top of that, right, parts of this movie were extremely confusing, and I think that's because the movie itself was confused about what the fuck it was doing.
Yeah, I would agree with all of those things. If you're a person that likes the special effects, you know, you like some of the action and stuff, and don't really care so much about the plot, this is the movie for you. But if you, if you're the kind of person that analyzes a film and, you know, takes a step back, kind of, you know, see what's going on within the confines of, you know, the script and everything, you will quickly see how muddled and troubled this film is, which is super disappointing because how awesome I thought the first Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them were.
Right.
And, it, and you know, it seemed like in the beginning it kind of wanted to do, like, some of the same things in the from the first film, where, but now it's like they kind of spun into this whole other story. And it was very confusing, and there's so many things. You're just like, what?
Yeah,
it's
like what? Tina had a huge role in the first movie. In this movie, she had just, like, such a minuscule role, like, with, like, a character who we, like, they didn't even need him in the movie. I don't remember his name, but it was, like, the African-American character who was, like, trying to kill Credence because of some prophecy, like, that made very little sense. And, like, the way they tied that in with Lolita Lestrange, or Lita Lestrange, like, and all this stuff, like, it's very muddled, and then they just threw all that out the window at the end for this huge reveal that just felt so, like, what the fuck out of left field, instead of, like, oh my god, holy shit, it just was, like, disappointing.
Yeah, it was totally disappointing, and I think we might have forgot to say, but this is definitely a spoiler podcast, so, yeah. You know, if you're not looking to find out what happened in the movie, this is, I'd pause it, go watch, and then come back.
Yeah, perfect spot for that, too, because we haven't spoiled anything yet. Right, so.
Yes. Just wanted to get that out there, because, you know, you can't be having people hating on you. Yeah. Like, dude, you didn't even say warning spoilers ahead.
I'll put it in the description as well.
Yeah. But anywho, you know, so speaking about the big reveal, so that was, like, the whole thing, right? That was, like, what we were kind of building up in this movie, and it just like, fell so flat. You're just like, what?
Well, it's because they didn't build it up at all. They built up a different reveal that never happened.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
They just, like, switched this thing, like, on its head. That, like, it doesn't work in the context of the movie. Like, what they were trying to do this whole movie, like, leading up to this. And it's, like, not even the main plot, because it's, like, a subplot. Like, the main plot wasn't, like from the start, oh, let's find Credence kind of thing. Like, that just seemed like it was, like, the movie started, and then, like, a bit through, they're like, oh, we should find Credence, because he's in Paris.
Right, yeah.
It's like,
yeah, it was just so strange, and you're just like, what? So, what was his, what's his name?
Newt?
Yes, Newt, his girlfriend from the first film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was just like, it's like, why did you guys bring her
Tina,
back?
Yeah, Tina, right.
It was just so terrible. It was terrible, and here's why it was terrible. Because somehow they make you manage to want him to end up with somebody else. It's like, what?
Right.
It's like they had this whole backstrange with Lita Lestrange that you're just like, what the hell? Like, why? So why is she and her in the same film? Like, what is really happening? Like, why did she end up with, like, Newt's brother? You know, because Lestrange, that is, you know, ends up, you know, engaged to Newt's brother.
Yeah, even though
apparently.
She clearly loves Newt.
Yeah, even though, like, in the flashbacks and everything pointed to her loving and still in love with Newt.
Right.
You know, and there was something that happened there that's, like, very confusing. And it's like, what happened between them to where they, why didn't they end up together? Like, who knows, really? It's very confusing. And then it just, like, felt that it was, like, such a forced plot point for, you know, him chasing after, what's her name again? Tina.
Tina, yeah.
I'll remember that. Hopefully.
But, like, this is not even stuff where it's, like, below the surface. This is all surface problems, you know? Like, who knows what you find when you start scratching it, you know?
Right, like, yeah. We only watched it one time and, like, realized all these different things. We're just like, what the heck?
And so many different, like, weird motivations. Like, they all end up in Paris because, like, Tina goes to Paris to find Credence.
Yes.
Newt goes to Paris to find Tina. Grindelwald goes to Paris to find Credence. But does Newt go to find Credence or to find Grindelwald? Because we know that Dumbledore...
He goes to find...
To find Tina, right?
To find Tina, but Dumbledore warns Newt's brother not to fall into the trap that the Ministry's leading him into.
Yeah, and the Ministry's all going after Grindelwald, and like it's all kind of like muddled to make us all
and
come
somehow in. There's like strange characters from like the regular Harry Potter universe, like, you know, from our main story, that, you know, they're taking these characters and just kind of throwing them in the films for, hey, look, canon type reasons, you know, and it's like very confusing why they're in there in the first place. And then you have, you know, what's her name? Weenie or
Queenie?
Queenie.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Fucking knows what the fuck is going on with her.
Yeah, Queenie. It was just like a terrible performance mostly. She served no purpose. Like, what was her motivation for switching to Grindelwald's side? It was so confusing. This movie had so many problems.
Yeah.
That it was like there were certain aspects that were like so fascinating and so like good. If they just would have kind of stuck to that, I'd have been like, this probably would have been a better movie. But then they are trying to do like that one theme in the beginning, and then they switch to the main story with no spectacular transition in it, really.
Right.
And it was just like, what the hell is going on in here, dude?
And Grindelwald himself is just kind of a confusing character. Like, I think they were struggling not to make him too much like Voldemort.
Right,
but like,
yeah,
it's like he kills without remorse, just kills whoever the fuck he wants with no issue, right?
Right.
But then he like starts preaching all this shit that he clearly doesn't believe in. But why is he preaching it? Like, if you want him to be like a bad guy, like, you get people on his side for believing what he believes, not like for lying to them, because that's so paper thin. Like with Queenie, he's like, oh yeah, free love, all this stuff, when he's clearly already expressed that he hates people. Like, he wants wizards and witches to rule the world. Like, he doesn't care.
Right. Like, he's very like a cult leader sort of villain in a way. And it's very strange because they never outline that he's like misleading people or anything like that.
Right.
You get the sense that that's what he's doing, but like without them kind of like explaining that or expressing that in an explicit way, you can't just, you know, assume that essentially, you know?
Yeah.
That's where I'm like, I kind of wonder if that's kind of where, what it is, like, you know, the speeches that he's giving and stuff, or, you know, a freer world and things like that. Is he just saying it to sway his audience essentially,
right?
Or is it something like that?
But
you know,
once
what I mean?
They see through it, then they just leave. Like,
well,
so
yeah,
that's
well,
like where
I mean,
it falls
but,
apart a little.
Yeah,
bit.
And that was his whole thing of, you know, getting the Ministry to go there because he knew somebody
would do something.
Yeah, you know,
and
end
he could
up
turn
killing
him against
somebody. Yeah, exactly.
But with Queenie, it makes no sense. The only reason she sides with him in the first place is so that she can marry whatever. What's his face?
Right.
Who makes that terrible scream?
Oh my god, dude, he was like, he's such a good actor too. That's like such a strange part. So the guy who plays like Queenie's like, well, now ex-boyfriend, you know, the muggle essentially, you know, in this film that, you know, follows Newt everywhere, when Queenie's gonna go across into the fire, he like does this weird bit of acting where, you know, he's like, ah, and then like bites his hand like it's such a weird reaction.
Like, so 1920s that, Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, like, it was just so strange. Film. I was just like, it took me completely out of the scene. I was just like so bummed by it. I was just like, that was such terrible acting. How does something like that come across in a movie? Like, how does nobody catch that and be like, hey, mate, we should change that. That's terrible.
I'm sure they reshot it like 4 or 5 times. They just chose the worst take.
Right.
Like, and the other thing, right? Like, this is the thing. We agree on... I'm pretty sure we agree on this. The whole movie, we are to believe that Grindelwald's motivation is to rule the world, both the magical and non-magical aspects, right? He wants to control it.
Yes.
Right? And it's because he's prejudiced against people who aren't purebloods.
Yeah, and he expresses that in his ending speech.
Exactly. But in that same speech, he says, we're doing this to save humans because look at the wars that they cause.
Right. No, yes, exactly. So he believes that, you know, the wizards are, you know, the superior, or the magical folk are more superior to the humans. So if the magical folk are reigning over the humans, then it takes those decision makings out of their hands. They can't, you know, go to war without the permissions and things like that.
Right.
And they essentially, it's like a different, like, just think about it as, you know, they think that they are the superior race, essentially. Like, think about, you know, Nazis and things like that.
Yeah, they essentially
are the Nazis versus, like, the rest of the world, that they think that they are the ultimate race, you know, of, like, perfect, and they should be above everyone else, sort of, you know, ideals.
This is one of the great things where we can talk about something beyond the movie, like, where this is so applicable to everything else, because there are people that truly believe that you can try and control other people's behavior. You can once you do, for in the interest of public safety, you can do all these things. But that's not freedom, right? It's painted as freedom, but it's not, right? We're saving you by controlling you, essentially.
Yeah.
You're not smart enough to make your own decision. That's you know, almost every issue, social issue, political issue, whatever, deals with something like that. We like to restrict people's rights in the interest of public safety. But how far does that go? And then it leads to people like Grindelwald or Hitler or Stalin or whoever, you know, you want to talk about. And that's one of the most interesting things, is like, maybe Grindelwald's not based on those characters, but you can apply his behavior to real world events that have happened and are continuing to happen as we further discuss public safety and the restriction of rights in the interest of that safety.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's just so interesting to see how that transitions, but
I still don't think it works in the movie.
Yeah,
but it's a great thing, like, we can take from the movie and talk about as well.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, in Queenie, like we said, like, once she realizes that, like, I don't even remember his name. What's his name? Her boyfriend.
I don't even remember.
Once she realizes he's not going to join her with Grindelwald, she goes anyway. So your whole motivation for joining him, you just turn your back on, like, why are you joining him now, you know? Like, it just doesn't make any sense at that point. Like, if she was like, oh, okay, like, but well, she's under a spell now, she's seduced, like, I don't know. Like, there's nothing concrete or explicit in the movie that tells you that. Like,
right,
she just goes, and it's like, okay, well, sure.
Yeah, it was so confusing. Very confusing.
Other thing, Nagini. Why?
Why? Yeah, exactly.
Like,
so, Nagini was in this film, but in a different way. It was a very, very interesting way, but she had no place in the film. Like, it just didn't make sense. Like, I didn't understand, like, kind of what was happening with her. So basically, Nagini is actually a person, but essentially, think about it as a werewolf. So she's essentially a werewolf, but instead of turning into the werewolf, she turns into a snake. And eventually, she will never be able to turn out of the snake form. So
yeah, I think it's more like an animagus, you know, like, because she can do it at will,
right? But
like, werewolves can only do it when it's a full moon, but she can, like, change into a snake whenever, but eventually she won't be able to change back.
Right.
So it's like kind of like Sirius Black turning into a dog, but, like, he can always turn back to human.
Right.
But she eventually won't be able to turn back. But she's so opposed to Grindelwald and everything he's doing, but eventually becomes such a huge... she has such a huge personal relationship with Voldemort that he makes her a Horcrux. Like, I think they're just shoehorning these things in. Again, like the Sorcerer's Stone and Nicholas Flamel, shoehorning these things in. Like Dumbledore and the Mirror of Erised, which apparently it just isn't the Mirror of Erised anymore, but it looks exactly like it. Like,
right, yeah, that was so confusing. Like, because how it was explained to us is that the Mirror of Erised said, like, it was supposed to show you what you most desire,
right?
Hence the reason when Harry stepped in front of it, it showed his family. When Ron stepped in front of it, it showed him being
head boy,
you know, head boy,
captain, you know, winning the World Cup or whatever.
Yeah, winning, you know, the Hogwarts Cup, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But then when you see Dumbledore step in front of it, you just see, like, the past, like, relationship with him and Grindelwald, which was very confusing as well,
because
they made this blood pact that they wouldn't fight each other. So it kind of showed that in the mirror, and, you know, the event of, like, you know, them actually making the blood pact. But then, like, so when, you know, when they make the blood pact, they cut their hands and they touch their palms, transferring blood.
Yeah.
That's how the blood pact works usually.
Yeah.
But then it was weird, because then they, like, so I'm like, this is going to bring me into my next point, why I'm bringing it up. So then they, like, you know, shift hands and then, like, are holding hands. It's very confusing. Like, are they... Was that meant... Because we know that J.K. Rowling wrote this, right?
Yeah,
like,
she wrote the script.
Yeah, she wrote the script. So does that lead us to believe that was her writing Dumbledore in as gay?
Yeah, I think that she's trying to make it explicit, but without saying it.
Right.
You know, like, one of, like, the best things to come out of... what was I saying? One of the best things to come out... Shit. I had a point. Gay Dumbledore. Okay. One of the best things to come out of this movie is the memes, right?
Right.
Of 10 years, right? This is like 1928, and then like 1938 was like the flashback where he meets Tom Riddle.
Right.
And like the memes of like his fashion sense went to shit in 10 years. He aged terrible. Right. Like that's some of the best things to come out of this movie is those memes, because it's like Dumbledore just changes so much.
Right.
And like such a small amount of time, and it's like, I think J.K. Rowling, though, is, like, trying... I don't know if she's afraid to tell people, oh, yeah, he's just a flaming gay man, you know? Like, she obviously doesn't have a problem saying it out loud, but to write into a movie, like, maybe she didn't know how to do that. Like, she wanted to be subtle, wanted to be more romantic, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it was very confusing what the, you know, they had alluded to, you know, he was more than best friends with him, and he was closer than brothers with him. You know, and it's just really confusing,
right,
about what that exactly meant.
Yeah.
Whole hand-holding thing kind of threw me off. I'm like, I don't know if that was an intentional thing, like trying to show him as gay, or if that was just them making a blood pact. Was that part of the blood pact? That's very confusing.
Well, the blood pact resulted in like this magic that created this charm as well. So
right, yeah.
Maybe that has something to do with it, but... You know, like, the idea of repurposing the Mirror of Erised for this makes no sense. You've already had flashbacks in the movie. You could have easily just done another flashback.
Right.
I mean, the Mirror of Erised, to me, is something very important. It represents something so big about Harry Potter. And the first thing I think about is when Dumbledore catches Harry looking in it, and he says, "It does not do to dwell on dreams and forget to live." Which is, like, one of the best lines in, like, all of Sorcerer's Stone. You know, like, one of the best quotes of Dumbledore, right?
Right.
So, I don't know.
Right, yeah. So, I don't know. A lot of things in this movie didn't really work for me. Things that did were, you know, the beast, of course.
Yeah, the
beast introduced a couple new beasts. The Chinese water dragon. What was the thing called? I think it was like a cat dragon type thing.
Yeah,
thing
wasn't that the Chinese water dragon?
The Chinese water demon.
Yeah.
And then it was something else.
Well, in the, like, the familiar cats or whatever, yeah, in the, yeah, ministry and stuff.
That was
like,
cool.
One of the best sequences in the movie was like when he's going through with what's her face and like feeding all the animals and taking care of them. And
right, yeah.
Like that was all, like, that's what we invested in Fantastic Beasts for.
Right, yeah. And then like the beginning carnival thing, you know, was very, you know, Fantastic Beasts-esque, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I was talking about, things that they should have stick to, some storyline within that kind of concept that they kind of, they should have taken advantage of, rather than trying to attempt some world-building experience and failing miserably at it because it was not well thought through.
They're making the world smaller. Like, they're trying to build this world, but they're making it smaller, you know?
Right.
It's like,
and then, you know, making it by, you know, retconning things that is just like, doesn't really work, because it just doesn't work in this confounds when you go back in time, you know?
Right.
It's different, like, when you retcon something that's current,
right,
you know, that works, but if you retcon something in the past, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it does not work the same, because then the timeline plays out completely differently. You
exactly.
know what I mean? So it doesn't work when they sit there and give the big reveal for Credence and who he is. That was like the whole thing with Credence, is like he's trying to find out who he is, where he came from, who was his parents. And then he finally decides to join Grindelwald at the end of the movie. And then Grindelwald tells him that he's a Dumbledore.
Right.
You know, that he's related to Albus Dumbledore. And I'm just like, what?
But he's like whatever this being is, right? This creature.
Yeah.
Which, like, we knew from the first movie. Like, they should have left Credence dead, to be fair. Like, they just brought him back for who knows what reason.
For this whole reason.
For the Dumbledore reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to them, this is them justifying having Dumbledore in the movie. Right?
Yeah, which this version of Dumbledore doesn't exactly work for me either.
Right.
you know, just like the whole, you know, a lot of choices within the wardrobes and stuff doesn't exactly work for me. Like, he was just too modernized, I feel like. Albus was, because
you put it, what, 1920s New York gangster?
Yeah, yeah. It's like a Gangs of New York style of like the gangster mob dress that he kind of had. And it was just like very, you know, city slicker kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then when you fast forward, he never has that, even in the flashbacks, you know, 10 years later, you know, he's only wearing robes and it's just like so confusing. It's like they should have, you know, they should have paid attention to detail with that. And that's something they harshly slipped on. And I was just like, this is bad. Although I did love Jude Law in the movie. I thought he was fantastic. There's a couple, you know, actors, you know, Eddie Redmayne, fantastic, good, as always. Jude Law, fantastic. You know, Johnny Depp, fantastic.
Yeah, just the way he, like, delivers lines.
Yes.
You know,
so, and then, you know, up until the one scene, the guy that follows Newt around all the time, he was great all the way up until that point.
Yeah.
All the way up until that one little part in the scene. I'm just like, why'd they do this? No.
Right.
No.
And, like, the whole thing is, like, we don't need to know that Credence is a quote-unquote Dumbledore to believe he's the only one that can take Dumbledore down. Because we know how insanely powerful he is already as, like, the creature he is.
Right.
Like, I don't... It just doesn't work at all for me.
I'd much rather them had did a storyline where it turns out that, you know, he just tricks him into believing some false story about who he is. And then it turns out that Grindelwald never knew who he was.
Right.
You know?
And then, like, they... So, like, they focus so much on this poem that then is, like, kind of... supposed to be like a prophecy, right? It has nothing to do with Credence at all,
right? Right? Yeah.
It doesn't work at all. All it is like explaining Leta LeStrange killed her brother, like by and swapped him with Credence. Dumbledore. Like, how did she swap him on a boat with someone who's Dumbledore going to America? Like, how does that even make sense? Why were the Dumbledores on a boat going to America?
Yeah, none of it made sense. Her backstory, her brother had no place. Nagini had no place. Nicholas Flamel had no place. You know, honestly, dude, not a good movie.
Right.
Like, you know, I love it because, you know, it's the Harry Potter stuff. And, you know, there are things to like and performances to enjoy within the film and a lot of cool effects. And something that I'm ready to talk about next after you make your point. But it's just like so many... bad takeaways from this film.
Yeah, this movie was an Easter egg fuckathon, and you know, that's about it. And by the way, back on the CGI point, to me, you don't get CGI credit for good CGI anymore. It's standard. You have to have good CGI in a movie.
No, I disagree. You definitely give credit where credit is due because you can always improve CGI. So when you like, I'm not saying they did anything groundbreaking or anything, but you know. Being able to bring these creatures alive in the manner that they do it, you know, it does, you know, these people do deserve credit.
Right.
I do think it's a categorically, you know, something to judge on as well. So I definitely don't, I think that, yes, you do have kind of like the baseline kind of, you know, where you should be at this day and age. And most movies should have good CGI, but you know, how many times, and you know, BVS or something like that, we've seen just terrible CGI, or in other films, you know, we see terrible CGI and it's like, oh man. And then like, you know, you or Jamar have both expressed the point in the past where, you know, you guys are like, oh well, that CGI was so bad it took me out of the film.
Right.
So CGI is clearly a judgeable category.
Yeah. Like I said, like, but you don't get like bonus points for doing good CGI. Like, this movie had great CGI, which is good, but it doesn't make the movie therefore good.
Oh,
I think
yeah,
the
no.
character, the like creature design, the person who designed those creatures, whether they drew them or digital designed them or whatever, they deserve a lot of credit. And then the people who
so
turn them
creative.
into the CG characters, yeah, they get credit too. Obviously, they did a lot of hard work and made these fantastic looking creatures, but that then doesn't make it so like the movie is better. You know, because they did their job.
Right, okay.
Yeah, right.
No, like, I get where you're coming from.
Other people, like, the writing and direction of this film failed, right? In certain aspects. Like, if it's great, you know, we'll acknowledge it, but if it's bad, it takes away from it. So it's easy. I don't know. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's really easy to walk down the street and be like, hey, your shoes are fucking terrible. But then, like, that's it. You know, like, it's so easy to criticize people, but it's harder to, like, be like, oh, you know, the color doesn't work with your outfit or something. Like, you know, like, helping them out. Like, it's much harder to, like, be complimentary, because then it's like, we don't know what the next step above that is. It's easy just to be like, this wasn't good and here's why. But with CGI and stuff, it's like, we can't be like, oh yeah, they did so much better, like, than it would have been, like, just standard, because, like, it's hard to, like, go on that scale, right, where it's, yeah, like, if it's bad, you know, it does take you out of the movie.
Right, yeah, know? Exactly.
They did a fantastic job with it.
Yeah, so I think our next talking point would, for me, would want to be the use of magic, right? So in this film, you know, that's another thing, CGI-wise, they did a really, really good job with, yeah, you know, just the effects, you know, the acting for the wand waving, you know, the incantations, all these different things,
yeah,
was, you know, wonderful. And, you know, really sucks you into that kind of world. That's where you kind of get into, like, that meat, you know, of the world. So with that being said, the magic use, it's so fascinating to me, how it all works, right? Because, right, we learned that you don't exactly need a wand to perform magic, but you need, like, a wand in order to make purposeful magic, I guess, if you can say that. Like you're directly doing that, whereas I think maybe without a wand, you're doing things indirectly on accident, you know, more, right, based off of emotion, more than likely. Because it's very, like, confusing, right? Because, you know, when we're introduced into the Harry Potter world, we know that, you know, Harry Potter performed magic before he ever had a wand, before he was ever taught how to use magic. So then when he goes to school, they give him a wand, and then they give him, you know, wand, quote unquote, rotations or techniques along with the incantation in order to, you know, cast a spell. Yeah,
perform magic in that.
Right. But then in these set of films, they're now using the wand still, but now they're not using the words. They're not using the incantations. They're just waving their wand in certain points and, like, using these spells when certain spells have always had the words attached to them.
Right.
Such as the Avada Kedavra spell. It's the one where you kill something.
Right.
For our listeners that, you know, just aren't into this Harry Potter stuff.
Right.
So you see in a couple different instances in this film where, you know, the guy in the Ministry of Magic kills the crowd person with the Avada Kedavra spell. I think you see Grindelwald do it a couple times. And you see the green flash of light and you see somebody laying there lifeless. So you know it's the Avada Kedavra spell.
Right.
But they never use the words. So now I'm just, like, wondering, how does magic work in this? Like, now it's becoming more confusing, because before we always thought, you know, to an extent you needed to use the incantation, right?
Yeah, I think the nature of magic is something very interesting to talk about. I mean, again, back on your retcon point, the Avada Kedavra, the killing curse, is a forbidden curse.
I'm going to get to that.
Yeah, okay. So here we go with the nature of magic, and it's really, really interesting to me. It's one of my favorite things about Sorcerer's Stone is when you're learning about magic and how it works and all these things. But, you know, we also get this idea because before we even see anything with a wand, in the book, at least, we know Harry ended up on the roof of a school without climbing the building. We know that Harry made glass disappear to a boa constrictor exhibit, which was also, by the way, Nagini.
Right.
For you guys who, you know, are a big fan of the hashtag retcon.
Right.
And then we also, you know, we get Hagrid using his umbrella as a source of magic, right?
Which is actually his wand.
Right. But it does, you know, when you're reading the book or watching the movie, it doesn't show up as a wand, you know, it shows up as an umbrella. So, you know,
we just kind of figure that out.
Right. We don't see anything like with wand usage in magic, but as the story goes on, you know, that's how we learn is like, it's almost more of a science than it is a magic. You know, you put the right ingredients in the pot and poof, you have it, magic, right? You know, you wave your wand in the right way, you say the right words and you have magic. But, you know, then you get the further and further on, you see adults can just, you know, Dumbledore even, you know, he like puts his hands up, the lights come on and stuff, like he can make lights disappear by waving, you know, like with the candles and whatnot. Now, you know, he has his put outer as well, but you know, we see all these different things where like adults seem to be able to use magic either without wands or without saying spells, and it's maybe because of how their mind is ingrained in it, how much magic they've built up, how much knowledge they built up. And it's really interesting to talk about, because the more you think about it, the more you realize we just actually know nothing about the nature of magic and
right.
how it works, who uses it, how they use it. Because one of the things is, like, in the beginning of this movie, Grindelwald doesn't have a tongue. But he can still use magic without a tongue, right? But then he polyjuiced into someone from the ministry so that he can cast magic with his tongue. Like, how does that even work, right?
Right, it's so confusing. I'm just like, what the hell? If you guys have any theories how you perceive magic to work in this world, would love to hear you guys' response on that. And, you know, you guys can always hit us up on social media or, you know, email us. Just go to our website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. All the links, you know, to emailing us and hitting us up on social media should be on the homepage. So, yeah, definitely do
right.
that.
I mean, even, like, you know, if you want to pull from the movies, like, when Harry yells Expecto Patronum, it has so much more of a powerful effect than just saying right. it, you know? Every time he casts Expelliarmus, he says it because it's, like, a cue to the audience, you know? Like, that's what we're right. familiar with. But it's always written in the book. Like, sometimes they'll say they wave their wand, this happened, whatever. But, you know, it's very interesting to, like, see.
Yeah, I wonder if, you know, originally, you know, J.K. decided that she wanted to, you know, perform magic with, yes, hand movements, but then is it words that go along, like, the incantations with it in order to express to the audience what they're doing? Or was it just, like, I don't know, is it just, like, a not a set in stone sort of formula? Like, it's very confusing.
I think, like, the practical, like, real-world explanation for it is that, like, because the first time I saw it, like, really saw it, was the fight in Order of Phoenix. Like, the big battle at the Ministry of Magic, where, like, nobody's saying spells. They're just waving their wands, and all these spells are coming out and all this stuff.
Well, no. You see it in Goblet of Fire, too. You see it when Voldemort's attacking Harry on the ground and stuff.
Oh, yeah, but...
Yeah, like, and he's, like, just pointing his wand down at him, like, hitting him with some
yeah,
spell.
Yeah, but he does say Crucio a lot as well, doing that. But, like, yeah, he, like, waved him, like, he, like, struck him down, like, at one point.
Yeah.
Or, like, whatever, yeah. But you see it a lot more in the Ministry battle, I think.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I think it's just because you have, like, 20 characters, and you don't want them all yelling curses or spells, and you just don't know what the fuck is... It just sounds like a soccer match where it's like...
Right.
And you're just like, oh, okay, they're just all, you know, having a good time over there.
Right.
So yeah. Maybe that's, like, the practical reason. But it's like, when I saw Order of Phoenix, it was like, what? I was like 10 or 11, 12. I don't know. That's just, like, one of the coolest things is, like, that battle, like, where they're just, like, flinging their wands and shit and stuff's happening. You're like, holy shit, like, what's going on? It's awesome.
Yeah, you see, like, you know, the dark side of the users, like, slinging, like, these black Aurid spells yeah. versus, you know, the Order of the Phoenix were, like, slinging white Aurid spells and stuff, and it's so cool, and it's, like, good versus yeah. evil. So,
and, like, when
so awesome, you know, Voldemort versus Dumbledore.
Yeah, yeah.
The water versus
the fire.
The fire was so good.
Like, one of my favorite ones is, like, when Sirius just, like, points his wand and stuns someone and then, like, hits his arm and they go flying. It's like,
yeah.
holy shit, that's so yeah. cool, you know? Like, yeah.
Yeah. It was so cool, man.
And Harry's
so awesome.
Doing it too, you know? Like,
right, yeah.
But, like, I give Harry a little leeway because we know Harry is inherently special. Like, we
right.
know, like, he is just, he is the pits, man. He just is so much better than everyone else.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So, you know, like, you can give him some leeway, but it's like, even when they're running away in the ministry, like, they're just flinging their wands and all the prophecies are falling
yeah.
off the shelves and stuff, you know?
Exactly.
So it's like,
it's very, very confusing. Okay, so now to my theory on the forbidding curses, right? These events right now are the reasons why they become forbidden.
The unforgivable curses, as they're
yes.
called.
Because you even see ministry auras using these spells. So you know it's not just the bad guys using them at this point.
Right.
And then breaks down the divide of, you know, now it's, you know, the bad people breaking the law and, you know, the good people are just, you know, trying to fight off evil. No, they're both using these spells, and they're like, Grindelwald uses the Cruciatus curse to seduce or control somebody in the film. I forgot.
Oh, the Imperial curse.
Oh, the Imperial curse. And then you see Avada Kedavra a bunch of times. And so I think these events are what's going to shape what the ministry deems acceptable and not.
Yeah, I like that idea. I think that that is entirely possible, because it's so weird. Like, again, you think back to Order of Phoenix, where Umbridge proposes using the Cruciatus Curse on students. And she what Fudge doesn't know won't hurt him, and like puts his picture down whatever. You know, like obviously it's not okay for them to do it, and the only reason Moody could do it before is because he was showing students,
right,
and explaining to them what they are and that they are unforgivable. But he also explains that they're unforgivable because of what they do to your soul,
right?
And so you wonder, like, if the ministry is even aware of that yet, what kind of research has been done? Because even, think of our modern world, a lot of things didn't even happen until the 1920s. So, it could entirely be true of the magical world as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I really like that idea. These events possibly lead to... I just snorted. Possibly lead to the future... laws in the shape of our current wizarding world.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only explanation I can really think of, because anything else, like, it just becomes more muddled, more confusing, more, is it just retconned in the past, which doesn't make sense, doesn't work for me, because, obviously as avid comic book readers, we have a little bit, I feel like, of a better understanding of time travel and what the effects of changing things in the past means.
Well, and again, I mean,
for
this,
our future,
this movie was a time turner and a Marauder's Map short of just being Harry Potter,
Oh yeah, absolutely. and it's just, wow. Like, I don't know, this film, terrible.
Terrible. Yeah, it struggles. I mean,
not to say that I probably won't watch it again, because I love, our Harry Potter verse. And such, I'll probably watch it,
Can't wait for those Hogwarts robes to come out.
Yeah, dude, those Hogwarts robes were sick.
Yeah.
Sick, brother.
Again, and it's like this thing is like, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the first movie, introduced the American Ministry of Magic and stuff, and is like very interesting. But this movie, we have the American Ministry of Magic, the British Ministry of Magic, the Paris Ministry, the French Ministry, like all these different ministries of magic. And we're just like, is this
very,
even...
Very, very confusing. Yeah. Very confusing.
We're just moving from ministry to ministry, not knowing what the fuck is going on.
Yeah. Super confusing, I feel like.
Do they all have prophecies in them? Do they all have all this shit? Like... And what the fuck is going on, dude? And then it's like, we're traveling. We don't even know where the fuck we are most of the time.
Right.
Dumbledore's glove is telling us, go this way, like the gloves in Mario and shit or whatnot. Yeah. Just like, okay, stuff is happening, I guess.
What is actually happening, boys?
Yeah, it's like Newt, like, it does what he wants kind of thing, but is also working for Dumbledore.
Newt Scamander.
Yeah.
If you've ever had the privilege of teaching Newt Scamander, you would know he does not take directions
particularly well or something.
Yeah.
I mean, Jude Law is a good actor. Like,
yeah, dude, I think Jude Law is the man. I think Eddie Redmayne's the man, and everyone already knows I love Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
So, those three, great. Also, I think Lita Lestrange did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Acting as well, but I think everyone else was lackluster, not entertaining, took me out of films in a lot of certain parts. I'm just like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, and the actress was good, but Lita, her character,
Strange as fuck.
Her story makes no sense either, And again, it's like this whole, oh yeah, she's related to Bellatrix Lestrange probably in some way, right?
Right, yeah, it's probably her grand... Oh, no, it can't be her grandmother.
Great grandmother.
No, she died.
Yeah. What? A great aunt?
Yeah, maybe aunt or something.
Wait, but she killed her siblings. Like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, this is so confusing.
What's happening?
No, wait, no. The guy lived. He lived.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her brother.
She killed her brother.
No, she didn't.
Or she swapped him.
What?
Remember what happened? What the fuck happened? No.
No, he lived. He's still alive. Because I remember I'm just like... When they're like showing them outside of the graveyard or the mausoleum, they show all who's still alive, and you're just like, why is he still alive?
Wait, who's her brother?
The black dude.
That was her brother?
Yes.
God damn it. What the fuck? I don't know what's going on in this movie. Like, I thought for sure, like, I had so much faith in it all coming together and working. I had to pee since minute, like, 4 of this movie, and I was so confused a little bit. I'm like, am I missing something, or, like, are they going to get to it? All this is happening for a reason, right? And then, like, the whole movie, like, at the end, I was just like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah, we forgot about, shoehorning the references in Fox.
Oh, yes, yes, Fox the Phoenix. Yes. Every Dumbledore has a phoenix, blah, 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 blah. And you get one credence because fuck Dumbledore. He'll get his in a couple years.
We're just like, what is happening?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I get it.
Yeah, meaning.
Guys, this movie to me gets like a 3 out of 10.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't, okay.
I'll give it a 4 out of 10.
Look.
Because I'm generous.
We gave BVS really bad grades, and not because it was only because it was bad, but because that movie physically made me angry. Like, yeah. This movie didn't make me angry. It just made me confused.
Sad.
And somewhat, like, disappointed, you know? Like, BVS actually, like, I felt like was trying to piss me off with the things they were doing.
Yeah, it was definitely trying,
like,
to piss me off.
Like, I don't know. So, like, I know people are going to, like, want to compare, like, with our opinions of DC films and stuff, because we've been very critical, and we're being very critical of this movie, but it's not as bad as BVS in any way, shape, or form, so don't go there, okay?
I mean, I'm giving it a 4 out of 10, which is not a stellar grade by any means.
No.
Like, yes. I mean, and you're giving it a 3 out of 10, even worse.
Yeah.
Look at this guy. So yeah. Judgmental.
Yeah. Pretty judgmental over here. Like, and then they're, okay, this is off topic, but this tweet today really pissed me off. It had a picture of Wonder Woman, of Mera from Aquaman, and of Harley Quinn from Suicide Squad, and said these three characters have more character development than every MCU woman character put together.
Oh, Lord.
Are you taking the actual piss? The Aquaman's not even fucking out yet. How are you going to say Mera has more character development? Sure, Wonder Woman is one of the most well-developed women characters in all of comic book movie currently, right? But Harley Quinn from Suicide Squad, are you kidding me? That movie was terrible, by the way. Her character wasn't developed very much at all. And we have characters like Shuri, Okoye, Black Widow, like fucking Valkyrie. We have so many great women characters.
Right.
And and it said that aren't sidekicks or what. Mera, by the way, is a sidekick to Aquaman. Let's get that straight. Okay.
Righto.
Harley
and technically,
Quinn.
Harley Quinn, before recently, was Joker's sidekick.
Right. And also, kind of a sidekick with Poison Ivy. So,
yes.
I mean, again, we might get great things in the future from DC, but as of right now, you cannot just say that unequivocally. Also, come on, Evangeline Lilly's Wasp has had great character development.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
people just like to make claims and have no substantial evidence to back anything up.
Right. The relationship between Gamora and Nebula.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Just, like, there's a
Gamora
lot of great stuff.
Gamora in general,
you know?
Been very developed and, you know. So, yeah, they're very incorrect.
Even fucking Pepper Potts, who had a terrible storyline in Iron Man 3.
Right.
Like, it's very well developed, so I don't know, whatever. Yeah. Moving on, back to Crimes of Grindelwald, which was not a movie about the Crimes of Grindelwald, and more a movie about how Credence is a Dumbledore. But,
yes.
But not really, because it's also a story about how the Lestranges and this prophecy, and I don't fucking know.
But wait, there's more with Newt and Tina.
In the Fantastic Beasts, and not where to find them, because we already know they're in his suitcase.
Duh. And that's all we got to say
about that.
Oh,
and the story
that.
Of Queenie and the killing curse and
yes.
The bad motives and
okay.
Dumbledore sexy.
Okay, guys. All right. Well, I mean, you guys are more than free to disagree with us, but we would like to hear you guys' opinions, of course. You know, as earlier I had mentioned, you guys can visit our website, nerdyboysreviews.com, and, you know, check out all of our links. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff is all on our website. Great ways to interact with us. Also, there's an email us button or something like that.
Yeah, some buttons, you know.
Yeah, there's things on there to contact us. Just get a hold of us and be like, you know what? You guys had it totally off, and this is why. You know, we'd love to hear you guys' opinion. Can't wait to hear from, you know, Jamar.
All our DMs are open.
All of
but if you want to have a good public discussion with us, Twitter is the best place for that.
Right, yes. Yes. Slide into our DMs. Have a slip and slide into that, Biage.
Yeah, or just, like, tag us in a tweet, you know.
You know. Anyways, Anywho, that's all we have for you guys on, you know, what is the movie called?
Fantastic Beasts, the Crimes of Grindelwald and Other Stuff.
And Others. And Others, yes. This is what we're going to name it. The Crimes of Grindelwald and Others.
Or the Crimes of J.K. Rowling and David Yates.
Oh, yeah. Exactly, dude. That needs to be a meme. Boom. Yeah. Let's get it done, guys.
Do it.
All right. You know, as always, we are your host. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
And we always leave you with one simple message, and that's
stay nerdy, boys.